Morning. It's great to be here again. You know, it's obvious we all miss Chris. Now, I was thinking about Chris, you know, when he has to work on the weekend, no one ever feels sorry for him because he's either in Bermuda or in the Caribbean or where is he, in the British Isles? No? Yeah, that's where he is working this weekend, so we miss him. Again, happy Father's Day to everyone. Thank you, Jennifer, for that message. I appreciate it very much. My father happened to be one of the fathers like that. He was truly a blessed man, and he worked very hard. And so I say happy Father's Day to everyone here, and we remember the fathers that are no longer with us and their love and how difficult it is for some, even on this particular day. I have a sermon today. It's not particularly a Father's Day sermon. It's an everybody sermon. So I've been working on this for about 3 months. But to be honest, well, you're only about an hour or so a week. You know, when you're retired, you pluck along. And since I didn't realize it was going to be Father's Day when I started this, it's here today. And so I think you might agree that the situation in our society and the world is pretty difficult right now, you know. I'd say the world is truly in need of a renewal, a revival, you know. And that's what I want to talk to you about. There's a beautiful verse of scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And in there, God is speaking to Solomon. And the Jewish people, of course, had turned away from God. And in that particular verse, he's calling them back. And this is an amazing, I think this verse should be right up there. You know, I don't know how many of you know, our national motto is still "In God We Trust." And you wouldn't believe it, but it is. And this one ought to be hanging up in the Capitol building as that motto is, okay? God speaking to his people says, "If my people," and he's talking to his people, God's people. This is, talking to the Jewish nation at that particular point in time, but it also applies to God's people today. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal the nations," okay? We need healing so badly from God. And so there's a formula here for all his people. If my people who are called, we need to humble ourselves, okay? You know, too much pride in the world today. Everybody just thinks of themselves and they think pretty highly of themselves. And so I saw this chart one time. It was a circle of, the throne in the middle of the thing and people are fighting to get on the throne. And someone said, "No, that's for God, and we're to be working around the throne for God. He's on the throne." And sometimes people like to think of themselves as being on the throne. So we need to humble ourselves. We certainly need to pray for our society. We need to seek God's face, and we need to repent, okay? Turn away from our wicked ways. And we need to do this individually and community and corporately as well. So it's very important that we do this. You know, when you speak of a sermon on revival, I don't know if in the olden days they used to have revival tents and they used to hope that they could do everything in one night or 1 week, no sermon or no message unless it's God's will to do that. It takes time, but what I want to do today is to get us to start thinking about, you know, churches today. You could see the attendance is declining, right? In a lot of churches, you know, especially being retired, I've visited several churches, and you know, attendances are declining in general, and it's a known fact. But each of us, we can get this feeling of, it's just a matter of time, and we'll just do our best, and you know, we're going to be closing soon anyway. You know, I'll just come and go, and I'll do the best I can. And really, that attitude has to change. You know, we're God's people here in this church, and nothing's more important in the world than for us to be here and worshiping our God, our Heavenly Father, especially on Father's Day. And each of us can do that. And we're to have this attitude. Nothing has changed for us. We're Christians. We're hoping to be Christians, or we're looking to be Christians. And to be a Christian means that you want to give your all to God, and have an uplifted attitude. You know, I know it's very sad, especially if you're locked in on the news, you know, if you're a news person and you can't get away from that screen and your order. You know, you can end up with nothing but discouragement in the long run. You know, I'm not saying we shouldn't be informed. We need to get the information. I get my information and all the news in about 3 minutes in the morning when I go through my phone. And I pretty much keep up with everybody when we're talking about what's going on. And then that's it, you know. And so I think, you know, we need to be informed of what's going on in the world. But most of all, we're Christians. We need to be showing God how much we love Him. There's a... I think you'll all agree that America and everyone, we need a revival. We have an individual responsibility, and we have a corporate responsibility. There's a song that was written by Gloria Gaither, all right? I don't know if you're familiar with this. You probably are. I'm going to just read the first stanza and one verse from the second. It says, "In the streets of every village, every city soaring towers, empty people live in darkness. Every minute, every hour, hear the cry of desperation from a billion broken hearts. With a need so great, where do we even start?" And then the first verse of the second stanza says, "Let it start with me." And that's the point I wanted to zoom in on, because it reminded me so much, you know, let it start with me. And how do we start? You know, we start by being a better Christian, by being more committed, by not being disturbed by so many things that are going on in the world, but remember that God is good and that we're going to be with Him forever and ever and ever. And His kingdom's not of this world. Whatever's happening in this world is going to be gone someday. And so we're all going to heaven, and we want to make sure we get others to join us there. And so it says there, this song remind me of Isaiah. I don't know, Isaiah 6:8 is sometimes called Isaiah's commission. I don't know if you remember that. Well, God gives out, just prior to this, He gives out all the woes to the people. And even Isaiah, after he thinks about it, he says, "Woe to me." You know, and God forgives him. And then he says, "We need somebody to send this message." And he says to Isaiah, "Who shall we send? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah speaks up and says, "Here I am, send me, Lord." Okay? Now, I'm not saying we're all going to be evangelists running around the world, but I think what we need to be is solid, committed, dedicated Christians, and work on that and grow in our faith and be strong. Don't let anything get you down, especially in the world where they're pounding on us day and night. I don't like what's going on in this world right now very much. I'm very distressed by it, but I can't let that distress me so much that I take my eyes off of God. You know, God is good. Everything that is good comes from God. There's nothing bad that comes from God. Everything that is good comes from God. And so we need to be committed towards that end. And so, you know, it's not like, unlike Moses, Jennifer mentioned Moses today. Now, Moses was a great man. He eventually went, but he wasn't always like that. You know, I preached a sermon one time. It's called The Many, Many Excuses of Moses. And when Moses started out, and you can read about that in Exodus chapter 4. When he started out and God wanted him to go down and talk to the Pharaoh to tell him to let my people go, Moses made many excuses. I had one person after a sermon one time in Maspa said, "You know, we've been thinking about going in the mission fields and we've been making many excuses. And when we heard this message here, we decided we're going to the Philippines." I thought that was amazing. And so... But you know, someone wrote about Moses and his many excuses. And Moses, there was a book written by what's her name here? Jill Briscoe. And I always talk about that. Here, Moses, the way he made so many excuses is, "Here I am, Lord, send Aaron." You know, "Here I am, Lord, send Aaron." Now, Isaiah said, "Here I am, send me," right? But Moses eventually caught on. Moses eventually went in and he became a type of redeemer by redeeming the people out of slavery. And so he was a type of Christ only in that way, because God, Jesus Christ, died on the cross so that we could no longer be in bondage to sin. Moses was a type of Christ, not a Christ, not a God, but he led the people out of slavery physically as a type of out of bondage. And so... as we move on, today's message, I want to turn to Psalm 85. Just just further the message for today. And in here, now go ahead, Psalm 85, excuse me. You know, God has revived his people in the past. And what the psalmist is doing here is he's giving us a history lesson of how God has revived us before. And in these particular verses, it's believed most likely that he's dealing with the Israelites who were taken into captivity in Babylon. You know, the Israelites disobeyed God. They dishonored him. They worshipped idols. And it became so bad that God took a pagan nation, Babylon, and he allowed the Babylonians to take the Israelites into captivity for 70 years. But he only said 70 years. He would go into captivity. So that's what happened. Babylon conquered Jerusalem. They destroyed Jerusalem completely, okay, in three phases. And they brought all the people eventually into Babylon. And God kept his promise. I want you to read, let me read this to you if you don't have, you know, the time to look it up, but it's in Jeremiah. Jeremiah's right past Isaiah, if that's any help. And so Jeremiah chapter 25, I'm just sit back and relax. I'm just going to read 12 verses to you, and it'll give you an idea of the situation that was taking place in Israel. The word came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, which was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Now, this is Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. This is his very first year as a king. And so Jeremiah the prophet said to all the people in Judah, to all the living in Jerusalem, for 23 years, from the 13th year of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, until this very day, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you again and again, but you have not listened. 23 years he was preaching to them, and they weren't listening. Now look, what were they doing? And though the Lord has sent all his servants and the prophets, this, Jennifer was talking about parables, one of the parables, right? All the servants went out, the prophets went out, and they denied the prophets. Eventually he killed the son, which was reference to Jesus. And so it says here, and though the Lord has sent all his servants and prophets to you again and again, you have not listened or paid or any attention. They said, turn now, each of you, from your evil ways and your evil practices, and you can stay in the land the Lord gave you and your ancestors forever and ever. Do not follow other gods to serve and worship them. Do not arouse my anger with what your hands have made. Then I will not harm you. But you did not listen to me, declares the Lord. And you have aroused my anger, and what your hands have made, and you have brought harm to yourself. Therefore, the Lord Almighty says this, because you have not listened to my words, I will summon all the people of the north and my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and declares the Lord, and I will bring them against this land and its inhabitants and against all the surrounding nations. I will completely destroy them and make an object of horror and scorn as an everlasting ruin. Let me get down to this point here. Okay. I will banish for them the sounds of joy, gladness, the voices of brides and bridegrooms, the sound of millstones and the light of the lamp. This whole country will become desolate wasteland, and these nations, listen to this, will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. But when the 70 years are fulfilled, I will punish the king of Babylon and his nation for the land of the Babylonians for their guilt, declares the Lord. And so God is actually using, you know, God will use even a pagan nation to show his wrath against those he decides to do. The Israelites were his chosen people, and they kept rejecting him. 23 years, they worshiped idols instead of God, and God kept sending prophets. And by the way, God has sent somebody to us throughout history. God always sends somebody to us to a message to turn around, get ready, until finally he sent his own son, our Lord Jesus Christ, into the world. So let's read Psalm 85. Now, Psalm 85 picks this up as after the 70 years. And by the way, this happened and started happening to Babylon in the year 608. And then in the year 538 BC, After the Medes and the Persians had conquered the Babylonians, God caused Cyrus and others to issue an edict that the Israelites should be able to return home. 608 B.C., 538 B.C., exactly 70 years. Exactly 70 years later, just as God had said, they were allowed to turn to their land. And the psalmist picks it up here, we believe, at the point, the first three verses. You, Lord, showed favor to your land. You restored the fortunes to Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people, and you covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath, and you turned from your fierce anger. Okay, so God had forgiven them. 70 years, that 70 years was for time for them to rebel. Not everybody went back, by the way. Some were comfortable. They stayed in Babylon. They were more comfortable there. And you'll see in a minute, but what happens is when they went back to the land, it was a mess, totally destroyed, a wreck. It was more than they ever bargained for. And the Jerusalem was completely destroyed. Not a stone was standing. The temple's down. Their lands were destroyed. And so they returned. And what happens is they began to work on their own homes, which is what you would expect, right? Begin to work and build and build. But they ignored God's temple. So here it is. God released them, allowed them to go back and freed them. 70 years he punished them. He says, go back. They went back. They finally got free. They went back to their own land. And yes, okay, they started working on their own lands as you would expect. But they totally ignored the building of the temple of God. And that angered God again. All right? So after 70 years, let's look what happened. We're winding down here. So this will only take a few more minutes. And so here we are. Now they're back in the land. They realize that God is angry again. And they haven't paid attention to God's needs. They have only taken care of their own, right? And remember, God, humble yourself. But they needed to humble themselves. So here's what they say. Restore us again, God. And so here they are, once restored, back. Now they're ignoring God again. And restore us again, God, our Savior, and put away your displeasure towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? You know, it's amazing. When people start thinking things are going wrong, somehow it shifts over to it's God's fault, right? And that seems to be what the psalmist is saying here at this point. He says, will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? No mention of their sin, no mention of the fact that they're worshiping idols, no mentioning of the fact that they've turned away from God and they haven't done his wishes or his will. Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love and grant us your salvation. Oh, my goodness. And so now they call upon God in way. And so God says to them, and verses 4 through 7, which we just read, God says to them, put away your displeasure, put away your anger, show us your love and mercy is what they're asking for. And this is exactly what they should do towards God. You know, have we been faithful to God? You know, we see things going on in the world and what's happening. Where is God? You know, the deists say God created us and he left us. That's a philosophy. You know, God created us and then he left us, you know. Now I remember that song, but I'll forget. Who sang the song that God is watching us from a distance? Bette Midler. Yeah, God is watching us from a distance. You know the song. God is watching us, but he's in us. He's with us. You know, he's not so distant. God wants us. You know, he's looking for us to humble ourselves before him, to think about what we've been doing with our lives. Where are we putting God in our lives? Are we putting him first? Are we putting him last? Is he our last thought? Are we just taking care of ourselves, building up our own houses, building up the things that are ours? Are we paying attention to God? That's what was happening here. The Israelites got blessed. God punished them for 70 years. Yeah, they finally came around. God let them go back to their land. They went back to their land. Their land was a mess. So, yes, they need to pay attention to that, but they only paid attention to their own needs, and they forgot about the temple. They didn't want it, so they ignored God. So, now, let's just wrap this up. Whether revived or saved, we need to remain faithful. That's the key, steadfastness. We need to be steadfast to God. And so this is how we as individuals can begin to have our own renewal with God, right? Our own revival, you know? How is my relationship with God? How am I doing? What can I do to, let me concentrate on that for the rest of my life instead of all the horror that's going on. You know, we have to be involved in the world because hopefully we can turn things around. But we need to remember to put God first. So let's read the balance of this, and we'll close it out with the last few verses here to verse 13. Of course, God can revive us again. That's the answer to this. And he will if we are faithful. And you might not think so, but God can do what God will do. And I'll be reading as we close here, verses 8 through 13. I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Now listen to these beautiful words of poetry here. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. In other words, these things go together. These are the things of God. Love, faithfulness, righteousness, peace of God. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth. So our faithfulness needs to spring forth from the earth. And what did it say that God would look down upon us and he'll heal us and heal the land? What does he say here? The exact same thing as we close. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. And in verse 11, I'm sorry, I skipped over that. Faithfulness springs from the earth, and the righteousness looks down from heaven. God looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. And so it's like a circle. It keeps going back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. You know, if we are willing to humble ourselves, if we are willing to put God first, if we're willing to pray, and seek God and repent of our sins and really recommit ourselves, there's a chance there could be revival in the world, and let it begin with us. You know, that's what the scripture is saying, and that's what the Gaither song is also saying. You know, let it begin with me. So my message today is to fathers, to everyone. Don't be so discouraged by what's going on. It's difficult, and I am upset too, and I have a hard time controlling myself. There's a lot of anti-Christian attitude in the world right now, and anti-God, you know, and sometimes we can feel that hurt. But as I mentioned one time, when Samuel was upset because the Israelites chose a king over God. God said to Samuel, he said, it's not you they're rejecting, it's me. So we need to be careful that the rejection of the world, we don't try to take it all on ourselves. They're rejecting God ultimately, right? So we're not gods, we're not strong enough as him, and we get hurt, we get mad. And the last thing we need to do is get so angry that we wipe out 50% of the people in our country because they're not the same political party that I am. So we hate that 50% and so on and so forth. You know, we need to have a revival, you know, within ourselves first. Let it start with us, and let's see how God handles that. And God bless. Have a great Father's Day. And thank you.